Srimad Bhagavatam class. I was thinking about it this morning, that there's no better place to be on a Saturday morning in Los Angeles, California, than in the Hare Krishna temple listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a lot better than watching television and drinking coffee, that's for sure. Okay. Jnanam yara prativrit. Okay. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naranchaiva narotamam. Devim saraswatim vyasam. Tato jaya mundiraye. Nasupraya surubhadresu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke. Bhaktir bhavati naistiki. Krishnaya vasudevaya. Devaki nandanaya cha. Nanda gopa kumaraya. Govindaya namo namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text Number 12. And the name of the chapter is Pure Devotional Service. Jnanam yara pratinivrita guna mida chakram. Atma prasada uta yatra gune sasanga. Kevala samatapanas tva antabhakti yoga. Ko nivrito hari katha suratim na kuryat. Jnanam yara pranitvita gunomirti chakra. Atma prasada uta yatra gune sasanga. Kaivalya samatapanas tuva antra bhakti yoga. Ko nivrito hari katha suratim na kuryat. Jnanam yara pratinivrita guno mritchakram. Atma prasada uta yatra gune sasanga. Kaivalya samata padastvata antra bhakti yoga. Ko nivrito hari katha suratim na kuryat. Chakram. yamam matapatasvata antrabhoga. Yoga. Matajis. Kaivalya samatha patasvata akti yoga. Harikata suratim nakuyat jnanam, knowledge, yat, that, with that which, up to the limit of, prati nirvritta, completely withdrawn, guna or me, the waves of the modes, the material modes. Chakram, whirlpool. Atmana prasada, self-satisfaction. Uta, moreover. Yatra, wherever, where there is. Gunesu, in the modes of nature. Asangaha, no attachment. Kaivala, Archita. Kaivalya. Transcendental. Samatha, approved. Tata, path. To, but. Ata, therefore. Bhakti yogaha, devotional service. Kaha, who? Nirvita, absorbed in. Harikatasu, in the transcendental topics of the Lord. Ritim, attraction. Na, shall not. Kuryat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment and being transcendental. It is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Purport. According to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee are always engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Thus, Bhakti Yoga, being the only means of God realization, is called Kevala. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the Vedic version, Eko Narayano Deva Paratvaram Paramam Aste Kevala Samjitaha. In this connection, it establishes that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is known as Kevala, and the means which enables one to approach the Lord is called Kevala Patana, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This Kevala Patana begins from Shravanam, or hearing those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead. And the natural consequence of hearing such Hari Katha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics for which a devotee has no taste at all. For a devotee, all mundane activities, social and political, become unattractive. And in the mature state, such a devotee becomes uninterested even in his own body, and what to speak of bodily relatives. In such a state of affairs, one is not agitated by the waves of material modes. There are different modes of material nature, and all mundane functions in which a common man is very much interested in, or in which he takes part, become unattractive for the devotee. The state of affairs is described here as Pati Nirvritta Gunomri, and it is possible by Atma Prasad, or complete self-satisfaction, without any material connection. The first class devotee of the Lord attains this stage by devotional service. But despite his loftiness, for the Lord's satisfaction, he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interests, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform mundane interest into transcendental bliss. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya uchate. Even mundane activities dovetailed with the service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approve kevala affairs. Om Agyan Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Garatmayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunath Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivisesha Sunyavari Pastyachare Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kum Koritiva Chalam Pangulagate Girim Tarkripa Tarham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. So I want to thank everyone once again for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present. In the Nectar of Devotion, it's described that there's different ways that one can come to perfection. One can come to perfection by being in perfection, being in nitya siddha. One can come to perfection by practicing sadhana, but then ultimately one can come to perfection by kripa, by mercy. And one of the ways one can attain perfection is by the good wishes of the Vaishnavas. And Rupa Goswami gives many examples in Nectar of Devotion. So I seek all the blessings of senior Vaishnavas because really we're just a product of the devotees that were around. So I seek all of your prayers and blessings that I can speak something that will be beneficial to us throughout the day and something we can reflect on as we progress in our Krishna consciousness. So when I was reading this verse, I couldn't help but think of another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam from the teachings of Kapila Dev. Prasanga arajam pasyam atma kavayo vidhu sa eva sarasyu krito moksha dwaram apavritam. Which means that the living entity's inclination of consciousness is to be attached to something or someone. And as long as one is attached to something material, it is a source of degradation. Whereas when one places attachment in the sadhus, then it becomes a source of upliftment and can actually free one from existing in the anxiety of the material world. And ultimately, it opens the door for liberation. And so throughout this verse that we've been reading, we're learning how Prabhupada is glorifying this path of bhakti yoga and how the beginning of bhakti yoga, Kaivalya Panthana, I hope I said that right, it begins with shravanam, it begins with hearing. And shravanam can only really begin when we associate with the devotees. So that's the topic I would like to speak about today, the glory of devotee association, and how our progress in Krishna consciousness is solely dependent on how attached we are to that association of devotees. Because as that verse of Kapila Dev explains, when one's attached to the material, it leads to degradation, but when one's attached to the sadhus, it leads to liberation. And being attached to sadhus means it opens the door to bhakti. So in the impersonal school of spiritual realization, there's an understanding that the goal of life is detachment. And that through that detachment, I can realize aham brahmasmi, and I'm spirit. But there's no relationship between the vishai and the ashray, the sheltered and the object of love. The abode of love, which is the living entity, and the object of love, which is Krishna. There's no understanding of that. It's, I want to become one with Krishna, so that it wants to negate relationship. One can engage in that process of spiritual realization. The Vedas provide a process to do it, but it's not recommended ultimately by Krishna. Krishna explains that it's actually very troublesome. And when one engages in that process of realization, it's incomplete realization because it only brings one to the platform of understanding their existence, sat. But a living entity is by nature, according to Vedanta Sutra, anandamayo byasyat, meaning it's seeking ananda. And that bliss comes from the association of devotees. It comes from association with Krishna. It comes from relationship. So Prabhupada quotes this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Machita makata prana bodha yantas parasparam kata yantas chamam nityam tusyanticha ramanticha tusyanticha ramanticha. The devotees feel great pleasure and bliss associating with each other. And then in another verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, parasparan anukatam pavanam bhagavayashaha mito ratir mitis tu stirs nirvatir mita atmana. That one should learn to associate with the devotees, and in that association they should hear the transcendental message of Bhagavatam. They should hear and glorify Krishna together. And in that hearing and glorification of Krishna together, they feel great satisfaction within themselves. And through that satisfaction, they become inspired to give up the world of sense gratification, which is ultimately a path leading to complete misery. So in contrast to the impersonalists, our success is solely dependent on relationship. Whereas their success is solely dependent on negation of relationship. So to the degree we are refining our relationships in regards to hearing and chanting, and to the degree that we are developing attachment for each other through that hearing and chanting, to that degree we will become detached from material sense gratification. And if we're sensing we still have some attachment to sense gratification, it's possibly because we haven't been able to refine those relationships amongst each other quite yet. This refining of relationship is really the essence of Krishna consciousness, because we're a personal philosophy. We're based on I'm a person, you're a person, and we're all related to the supreme person, Krishna. And we're meant to cooperate in serving one another, in serving Krishna. And I've noticed, at least within myself, that there's a tendency to become complacent or unappreciative of the association of devotees. And I've noticed there's, with that comes a sense of dissatisfaction. And it really just become, it's really just because of familiarity breeds contempt. When we're around people a lot, we kind of forget how great they actually are. But if anyone's ever out been away from the temple for a long time, a great example is Mayapur. When you're away from Mayapur for a long time and you go back to Mayapur, you remember how great Mayapur is. But then when you're there for a little bit of time, there's a tendency to take it for granted for what it actually is. So the association of devotees is like that. So we have to constantly be remembering that the association of sadhus is actually providing the greatest gift. They're providing the gift of how to become devoted. They set the example of what it means to be devoted. They set the example and they teach us how to worship Krishna. I've been fortunate to be serving in the deity kitchen with Ashray Gaur and Vaninath. And they're teaching me how to worship Krishna properly through cooking. They're teaching me how to assist in the kitchen, which is actually the sanctum of Srimati Radharani, and offer something nice to Krishna. Vaninath's so particular about cleanliness, and it's so inspiring because it's just because he wants to please Krishna. He does this thing a lot where if you ask him if you want to cook something. So for instance, I wanted to make buttermilk for the deities, and he said, "You can make it, but don't speculate. You're cooking for Krishna, no speculating." So the devotees, they teach us how to worship Krishna. And then finally, the devotees teach us how to sincerely serve. Radhana Swami, he gives this story of Ghanisham Baba. And anyone that's read The Journey Home, I'm sure was endeared by this story of Ghanisham Baba. Radhanath Maharaj would go see this Babaji, who was a very pure devotee, that lived in a closet with these deities, Gopi Jana Vallabha. And Radhanath Maharaj would go, and this Babaji would only offer like 3 chapatis a day. And every day he would give the chapatis to Radhanath Maharaj. Why? Because he considered Radhanath Maharaj a dear friend of Gopi Jana Vallabha. Radhanath Maharaj remembers, he's like, "I was only 19 years old, I was nobody. But because I was coming and seeing his deities, he said, I'm just the servant of Gopi Jana Vallabha, and you're his dear friend." So the devotees teach us how to do things. Three things. They teach us how to be devoted, how to worship Krishna, and how to sincerely serve. So when we forget these gifts that the devotees are giving us, to the degree we forget those gifts, to the degree our propensity or attachment to the world of sense gratification is there. Materialists are completely forgetful of the gifts that the sadhus give them. So therefore, they're completely enraptured by material sense gratification. So I wanted to offer some practical tips on how we could potentially become free from this complacent attitude in the association of devotees. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he offers really 4 amazing, fascinating meditations for us to meditate in regards to community development. The first one, he says, is treat everyone you encounter as if the success of your spiritual life depends upon the quality of your interactions with them. So in the Sri Isha Upanishad, it says, Om Purnami Dham Purnami Dham, which means that everything that's coming from Krishna is completely perfect and complete. So we can trust that because we're existing within Krishna's creation and we are the created energy of Krishna, that everything is being arranged perfectly for our spiritual advancement. It also says in Sri Isha Upanishad, Prabhupada says that Krishna wants us to go back to him more than we want to go to him. So we can trust that everything that we're seeing, everything that we're interacting with, every relationship that they have is coming directly from Krishna. And to the way we're interacting with those relationships, the way we're engaging in those relationships, has a direct correlation to our taste for chanting. Bhaktivedanta Thakur says in a song, Gurudev, he says, "Oh Gurudev, please teach me how to respect all living entities. And with that respect, I'll be able to get free from offenses." So to the degree we're able to respect each other, to the degree we're able to relate with each other in genuine love, to that degree we'll develop taste for the holy name. And then a second point, which will help us in the first point, to treat everyone as if that encounter will directly affect our spiritual advancement, is to reflect upon the person that you love the most and treat everyone that you meet with that quality of love. When I look at Srila Prabhupada disciples and the relationships that they have with each other, it's really inspiring for me. It's so deep, it's palatable how deep it is. And when you look at the early days of the movement, they didn't have like very advanced systems of management. They hardly had any money. But they had complete faith in Prabhupada, and Prabhupada loved them, and they loved Prabhupada. And because they loved Prabhupada so much, whenever people would come to the temple and people would interact with those devotees who loved Prabhupada so much, they were simply acting as like a pipe of Prabhupada's love. The water comes through the pipe, it never stops. And so they were just acting as, you know, a medium for Prabhupada's love to touch people's hearts. And so many people came because of this propensity to treat everyone with the same love that you would give to the person that you love the most. And the third point is to view all conflicts as your own fault first. And generally in Kali Yuga, the normal is quarrels. Quarrels and dissension. And cooperation is generally an austerity. Is it not? But Mahaprabhu, he's asking us to take up the only austerity for Kali Yuga, which is Trinada Pisa Nichena Tarodita Sahishnina Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. He's asking us to take the humble position. A blade of grass, when it gets stepped on, it doesn't play the blame game. What it does is it simply accepts it and it rises. So blame and resentment are really poisons which cripple our ability to have a change of heart, because any conflict that we experience in life is actually an opportunity for us to become frustrated. And that frustration really reveals the gaps. When the gaps are revealed, it gives us an opportunity to introspect and begin to do some inner work and really begin to call out to Krishna. Krishna, I interacted with this devotee in this way, and I know I'm not supposed to be like that. Help me. Help me develop the, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's singing, "Oh Gurudev, help me respect all living entities." So the conflicts that we face in life, when we play the blame game, it prevents that grace to flow into our heart. But when we immediately put ourselves in a position, "It's my fault," then what it does is it opens our heart, it allows us to resolve the conflict, and ultimately deepen our own sadachar, our own character. And so, ultimately, conflicts that we experience in devotional communities, anytime they happen, we can just ask the question, why is this happening to me? What's the service that I can do? And what lesson can I learn? And how can I become a better servant from this interaction? And so the fourth point that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj gives is, realize that the people in your present circumstances might very well be the people with whom you will live out your life and who will be with you at the time of death. That's really powerful. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, one of the reasons why I was seeking spirituality to begin with is because I wanted to know what happened when I die. I had a loved one die at a very young age, and it was basically something that was on my mind throughout my life. I wanted to know what happens when I die. Why do I have to die? And when I came in contact with Prabhupada's books, it really gave a clear understanding of how to live my life now, So that when death comes, I won't be bewildered by it. Dehi no semyata dehe, komaram yavaramdra, tatra deham puran, diras tatra namoryati. Thank you. And so, one of the reasons why we could potentially become complacent in Vaishnava dealings is we forget that death it could be creeping in at every moment. And we forget that the people that are around us that we're having relationships with could be the same people that are standing by our deathbed tomorrow. Maharaj Yudhisthira says the most wonderful thing in the world is that although everyone's dying, I'm the only one who thinks I'm not going to die. So, if we constantly reflect on the gravity of our material circumstances and begin to appreciate what the sadhus are giving us, what the association of Vaishnavas are giving us, and refine those relationships in a very deep way, we'll make a lot of progress in spiritual life. There's a really nice verse, Naham tisyanti vaikunte yoginam hirede suva tatra chisyami narada yantra gayanti madbhakta. That Krishna, he isn't in Vaikuntha, he isn't in the heart of the yogi, but Krishna is where the devotees are chanting about him. So to the degree we become attached to those devotees who are chanting about Krishna, to that degree we'll become attached to Krishna, and to that degree we'll become detached from sense gratification. So I'll take any chastisements, reflections, or questions now. Yeah, I'll repeat it. Yes.
In the purpose, your Prabhupada was saying that the devotees, they don't even care about the body. So, does that mean we should neglect the needs of the body? That, does that mean we shouldn't eat or we shouldn't put the clothes on?
No. Well, at a certain stage, yes, but where we're at, no. It's explained in Bhagavatam that one should take care of the bare necessities of life, but maintaining those bare necessities of life shouldn't outweigh our engagement in devotional service. One should be healthy, one should exercise, one should eat properly, one should, bathe, because all these things keep the mind peaceful. And when our mind is peaceful, it's a lot easier for us to engage in the process of bhakti yoga, in sadhana bhakti. But if you come to like a higher stage, like for instance, I'm reading Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhava right now, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji used to walk around naked or used to wear clothes that came from like the burning ghat. But that's not something for us to imitate. But for us, we have to maintain the body nicely, because if we don't maintain the body nicely, we're not completely transcendental. We're not Jivan Mukta. We're not liberated within this body. So we have to maintain the body to the bare minimum, what needs. We sleep properly, we eat properly. And when we have a balanced life like that, we can engage in the process of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti yoga, very easily. And it will be easier for us to come to a higher standard. Whereas if we neglect those things, I've noticed being here, sometimes you see like when new devotees join, God bless their heart, but sometimes they want to like take on like a lot of severe austerities. But it's not really that necessary. The real, Prabhupada says in a lecture, and I mentioned it in the class, that the real austerity for Kali Yuga is Srinada Pisa Nichina. It's to be humble. And so we should maintain the body just to help us engage in Krishna consciousness nicely. Prema Sankirtan. No microphone. Yeah. Can you repeat that list? What supplements? Yeah. Okay. So what he said is that when Prabhupada is around, he was the main source of inspiration for the devotees. So nowadays, Prabhupada isn't physically present, so what supplements that? Well, one thing that I've noticed is that I've gotten to know Prabhupada the most through Prabhupada disciples. And so we really have to find those conduits of inspiration and build the pipeline with them. And, you know, when the spiritual master leaves, particularly when the founder Acharya leaves, there comes a test time. And we all know, like, the history of ISKCON when Prabhupada left, it was very difficult. But really what it requires us to do is to go deeper. You know, to refine means to bring out a better essence. So without having Prabhupada here physically, it requires us to become more refined in our chanting. It requires us to become more refined in reading. It requires us to become more refined in associating with each other, because Prabhupada ultimately wanted us to become spiritual masters as well. So it requires us to dig deep. And that's not easy. But we really have to make the effort, because we have to be each other's inspiration now. Prabhupada is always there for us. It's not that Prabhupada isn't here. He's sitting right there. He's up there in his room. And he's always available to us. But we have to make ourselves available to him, and we have to make ourselves available to the devotees. Anything else? Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Gardenia Davies.